Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Are you frustrated with IT issues? Let AnyTech take the stress out of all your tech worries. With more people than ever now working from home, reliable technical assistance could help save your day. Mac or PC? We can help. Friendly service, free quotation, competitive rates guaranteed. AnyTech, IT home and business support service covering Kent and East Sussex. Call 07745 178 665. That's 07745 178 665. Or visit our website. All the W's, anytech.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Meet Holly. She's got a job, but she's unhappy for many reasons. She doesn't earn much, her manager doesn't support her, and the job has no future. But then she found jobsinkent.com. It's Kent's largest job site with over 25 years' experience. It covers all industries and sectors and has permanent, contract and part-time positions. Want to know more? 1. Visit jobsinkent.com. 2. Search jobs by industry, location and keywords. 3. Find thousands of jobs for you. And 4. Apply direct to the employer. Now she has a better income, she feels valued by her employer, and she's building her career. So, what are you waiting for? Visit jobsinkent.com today.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Here at Loch Associates Group, people are our business. Use our flexi-retainer against any of our employment law, HR, health and wellbeing and mediation services. All at a price that suits your business and with no long-term contracts. Use this time to recover and grow your business and let Loch Associates Group deal with your people needs. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And we're back after that little segue, and we're all back in the studio and we're getting ready to talk to Karen Ashford in a minute about her lovely wine, Kentish Wayfarer Wines. You can find them on wayfarerwines.com, and Wayfarer is WayFarer. Wayfarer Wines. Give them a nudge. They're on Instagram, of course, and also on the Twitter at Wayfarer Wines, and also on Facebook. They're busy on Facebook and Instagram, so find them there. They have lots of treats in store, and I'll be talking to Karen about what they have, but I know for a fact that they've got fabulous tours. They've got a wine club, Sarah.
Oh.
And also you can go and have cheese platters and ploughmans and all that with your wine. So I'm looking forward to hearing all about that. But let's go over to Sarah Marsh Collins and hear what's going on.
Okay, so let's start with Gravesham for Business. Don't miss out on up to 75% relief for qualifying retail, hospitality and leisure businesses. So an application to at Gravesham BC must be completed in order for the relief to be applied to your account. So this looks like up to 75% off your business rates bills for the year 2023 to 2024. So anybody who that would apply to might be interested in checking that out. Choose a career that makes a real difference. We urgently need foster carers in Maidstone. So this is from Diagrammer, who are looking for fosterers in and around the Maidstone area. So if you would like to find out more about that, you can request your free fostering brochure from fostering@diagrammer.org. So Diagrammer is spelled D-I-A-G-R-A-M-A.
Unusual name, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And you can have a look at their website, www.diagrammerfostering.org.uk.
Yeah, great. It's a really good thing to do, fostering. It's hard work, but there are support systems out there for foster carers.
Yes, there's a real push on trying to find foster carers generally now, aren't there?
Yeah. Have you got any more? Or do you want to give us another little social media tip? It's up to you. I mean, you know, you rule the roost, Sarah, in the corner there.
That's me, Queen something over
Queen,
here.
Queen Sarah, yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think Paul would be upset with me if I didn't mention the classic cars at Kenwood.
Oh, yeah.
Because classic cars, campers, bikes and scooters welcome. It's the third Sunday of each month from 10 o'clock in the morning until noon. £5 per vehicle. Pre-book, that includes a tea or a coffee. And you can call 01622 814 187 to pre-book. And you've got bacon rolls or veggie rolls available.
I would love a bacon roll right now. I had a very early breakfast.
Yes, me too.
A little poached egg and a little one rasher of bacon in my air fryer.
Breakfast.
Very meagre, because it was a bit early. I don't normally eat till. I'm trying to do that eat twice a day thing.
Ah, so you eat know. Later. Yeah.
Well, I eat about probably midday and then in the evening. And then I stop at 8 p.m., which is horrible, because then I'm always peckish. The new husband starts having cheese and biscuits about 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's so unfair.
It's very unfair, you know, watching a film and he says, oh, just have some cheese and crackers. But I take some tablets on an empty stomach. So I say to him, right, if I eat now, I've got to stay up till midnight. And he's an early, he likes to go to bed early.
Okay.
I like staying up late, actually.
But he won't compromise on the cheese and biscuits.
I think we're incompatible. I've decided
after this long. Yes.
Yeah, 29 years. Yeah. I think we're incompatible.
I think you might be. Yes.
And especially now he's limping around with his leg. I've totally got off him.
New model.
I mean,
new model.
You know, the squeaking with that leg. I mean, I've had two broken legs. I've had a cesarean, two broken legs and various miscarriages of justice. And he's got a little knee thing and he's screaming.
Well, I suppose knees are painful. And if it's the only thing he's had, you know, sort of that's really gone wrong, then he has nothing to compare it with.
I'm going to feel awful when I go home if he really has broken his kneecap or something.
You will. And also he's going to make you pay for it.
Exactly. Let's hope he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Social media tip, Sarah Marsh Collins.
Social media tip.
Where's it going to come from? Is it a Twitter? Is it a LinkedIn? Or
put
is it
me on the spot here now.
Yeah. Well, you are the guru of social media.
I am.
You do, it's standing on your head.
Well, a lot of the time, yes, actually, although I wouldn't necessarily recommend
it. Or pole
it.
Dancing, apparently,
yes.
Which is what you were doing last night.
Yeah.
This
wonderful
looks like
bruises.
So
yeah.
Sarah's showing her bruises. I'll take a picture after the show. You were pole dancing. This looks like warfare.
It's quite strenuous and it's quite a physical activity.
I can tell.
So I was upside down on the pole last night for the first time.
Yeah, as you do. Of a Monday night.
Monday night, you know, 8 o'clock, not doing anything, swinging around a pole.
Why not?
Exactly. So yes, unfortunately, that's where those bruises have come from. It's the ones between my thighs where you grip the pole that become really quite painful.
And where do you do this?
So it's with Claire's Pole Fitness, actually, and she's based in Gravesend, but the classes are held in Crayford.
Okay.
So still Kent.
Yeah.
She has various classes. She's been teaching for 21 years. So she's very experienced. She's got some great helpers, and it's really good fun. Actually, you get lots of women there, all just having a lot of fun. And
what do you wear? Do you wear like pole dancing gear? Or?
No, I haven't got to the eyelashes and high heels stage yet. I'm still
lame or glitter or something.
Yeah, no, it's really much more like a sort of a hippo dressed in sort of lycra shorts and a running top at the moment. I'm afraid.
Talking of hippos, you've seen Paul Andrews in his tutu.
I have. We've had a few comments about. I think Neville Gaunt would like to borrow the pink. Was it Neville or was it Zena?
It was Charity Buddy or someone, I don't know. Yeah. Talking of Neville Gaunt, he's invited me for a dinner in London, which is lovely. I'm going on Thursday. And it's all worked out. You know, a woman of my age, Karen, you won't know about this because you're far too young. But a woman of my age, the roots, the grey roots, it's just like my hair grows really quickly.
Me too.
Every 3 weeks. So I've had to go blonde, and I'm naturally brunette like Karen. So I've had to go blonde. My new husband hates me as a blonde. He doesn't like me as a blonde. He likes me as a brunette, but I can't keep up. So I got this dinner invitation for Thursday. It's very posh. I can't remember where it is, but it's somewhere very posh. James will be impressed when I tell him after the show if I find the invite. And it's all worked out because my roots are being done tomorrow.
Yay!
And my nails.
Winning.
And as a woman. That is like crucial. So I'm very pleased. Yes. I'm just putting, you tell us, a listener, about the your social, because I'm putting a picture of baby Erin, who's joined us.
Yes.
Yes, I'm putting that on my Twitter.
Yes. Oh, well, so we've actually had a couple of tweets. We've got some of our regular listeners, obviously. Tracy is there.
Read out Tracy's bio, because she is a marvellous, she's a marvellous woman. Yep. And she's going to be at the Women in Big Business, or whatever they're called, the big women in small businesses, I don't know, the SMEs,
the women in business. It's Women in Business Big Show. You've been listening too much to our friend Paul.
Yes.
So Tracy is, you can find her on Twitter at Tazzy64.
Yep.
And she is the founder of Plucky's World. And her mission is to start conversations and support self-awareness, personal growth. She's a mentor and trainer. And as she says, the time to do what you love is now. And she very much lives that way. It's she's a lovely lady.
Brilliant. Who else and what else have you got?
So I also have IS Instruments, Jessica Gabb, who was on.
Oh yeah,
she's
scientific boffin.
Indeed, she's our spectrometer Raman princess, we call her, and she's listening in with the team down in Tunbridge. Who else do we have? I saw somebody who wanted a shout out. Da-da-da-da.
It's very hard to find them all because there's too many.
Yeah.
I can read something while you look at that. Just a reminder that I will be a judge at Greyfest. I shall wear my... I think I have to wear a scarf and look like Princess Anne or something when I'm a judge. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to get into character, but just a reminder, Greyfest.
Are you going to wear wellies?
Yeah, I'm going to get in kind of jobpers or something. Yeah. Because it's at a Saddlesdane Equestrian Centre on the Ashford Road, Battlesmere, Faversham. If you want the sat-nav, it's ME13ONX. So I hope to see you many... You don't have to have a greyhound to go, of course. And there will be little rescues there, James.
Yeah, well, there
your
will.
4-year-old, you know, Noah, was it? You know?
And greyhounds are so cuddly and really friendly. They're really I've always found them very, very patient with children.
We're talking about...
My wife's heart is set on a Vimarana, so...
Oh, bonkers.
Really? Yes.
Yeah, does she have that much time to exercise?
Oh, no.
Exactly. Only herself, but not Vimaranas. I always thought that was a sausage, but never mind. Like a German sausage that you have in a hot dog, but I might be wrong. And we're talking about dogs again, Sarah. Can you just stop doing that?
Yeah, we're not supposed to talk about dogs, are we?
Greyfest, the dog festival, August the 19th, 20th, Saddlesdane Equestrian Centre, Ashford Road, Battlesmere, Faversham, ME13ON for Noah, X for Twitter.
Oh, see what you did there.
Yeah, so I'll be there on Saturday as a judge wearing Princess Anne clothes. We've had a tweet from the lovely Zeenat Noorani. She has an underscore in her Twitter handle.
She does.
Zeenat underscore Noorani, N-O-O-R-A-N-I. She says, happy cat day to all the cat lovers, meow and purr, using the Bee Bunker hashtag.
Yeah, she's a big cat fan.
Yeah, so I've sent her a picture of Darcy.
No, she's great with dogs. She took one of my dogs to hydrotherapy for me when I was away on a...
I think she's going to do some dog sitting for us, I'm pretty sure.
She's lovely. So really good with dogs as well. I think it's the teacher in her. You know, she trained as a teacher at one point, and I think that's how she keeps the dogs under control.
I think it's time for wine. I think it's wine o'clock, Sarah.
It's always wine o'clock.
So now, how is Karen going to pour wine run us through? Let's talk to Karen first of all. She jiggles Erin. Erin is the CEO. She's 5 months old and runs the business. But let's hear about Wayfarer Wines. So how did you become a wine producer? Because you're very young.
Yeah. So we started, the company started in 2016. And originally it was just a passion project for the family. So my father-in-law retired and he planted some vines at the back of the family home. So the family home is Wayfarer House, and that's on the Pilgrim's Way in Hollingbourne, so just kind of south of Maidstone.
And how many acres?
So that's about 2 acres.
Right.
So there's around about 3,000 vines there. And he thought that 3,000 vines would be a lovely little pastime, pop out into the back paddock and potter about for a couple of hours in the week, and it just totally wasn't that whatsoever.
What was it? Hard work?
I mean, it's really hard labour, intense labour. It's a struggle to keep on top of it.
Talking of intense labour, how was Erin? Was that intense labour?
Yeah, I mean...
So I'd much rather talk about babies, but we will come back to mine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're a family business, so just the very nature of it is... You know, it's all hands on deck, including the little ones.
So it's yourself, your husband, and
my sister-in-law Emma, and her 2 children get involved as well, although they're slightly older now, so they're kind of young teenagers.
And your father-in-law's name?
Is Jeff Ashford.
Jeff. And we've got in the studio...
So my mum's come along today to help me
to
with
jiggle.
The little one, and that's Linda.
Linda, hello. So your father-in-law did this thinking it would be a nice little snifter of a Sunday, you know, a Sunday lunch or something.
And how on earth he thought that he would drink 6,000 or so bottles of wine on a weekend.
I'd like to try. I don't know about that.
I don't know. But we very quickly realised that actually it was quite a little bit more than just a potter in the garden type project. And we all pitched in to help out, and we all discovered really a passion for it as a family, which was lovely. So my husband and his dad went off to Plumpton College, which is the agricultural specialist college.
Yeah.
And it's the only place really, I would say, that I know of in Europe that you can go and do these specialist kind of viticulture courses and have them taught in English. Just excuse me for a moment.
Yeah. Well, mother takes over. Sarah, can you do a little video as well?
I've just done one.
Oh, you're so diligent. Sorry, carry on.
So, they went off to college and they properly learned how to look after the vineyard and how to actually make wine. So Plumpton College has their very own vineyard where you can go and practice everything. So they were doing that 3 or 4 days a week and then coming home on the weekend and putting what they were learning into practice on our own vineyard as it was getting established. And they learned how to make the wine as well. So they've got a fully functioning winery down at Plumpton.
So did they know, did your father-in-law know from that the terroir, that you know, the land was good enough to grow? Or did he...
So you have, when you, for anybody looking to establish a vineyard, you've got a really good pool of resources available to you in Kent. So there are specialist companies that will come and help you assess your land. As a general rule of thumb, you'll want something that is south-facing with a gentle slope, so you get the most of the sunshine as it goes obviously from east to west. And gentle slope helps with things like frost. So any kind of dips or flat areas on your land, areas of frost will pool there, and that will affect the vines. So it's nice to have a gentle slope as well.
You can see that actually with valleys. You can see where the mist and stuff settles into the valley. So of course that makes
pools
perfect sense.
At low point.
Yes, exactly. So we kind of knew that the piece of land we had at the back of the family home was ideal anyway. It's around about just underneath 100 metres below sea level. So that is pretty much the highest that you'd want to plant a vineyard, any higher than that, and it's not going to be ideal. Our plot that we've established down in Woodchurch is about 10 metres above sea level.
So is this a different area, or still your dad's father-in-law's garden?
So we have 2 different
acres.
Sites. So we've got one site that's where we started behind the family home as the original plot where we started.
Where he could just stagger up with the wine to the house.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and then he got some more, did he?
Yeah, so as we developed as, as a small budding business, and we realised that we had kind of too much that we'd be able to really
drink ourselves.
We kind of looked into it a little bit more seriously, and we realised that actually that small plot that we had was not quite enough for us to go fully, corporate. So what we did was we started looking for a little bit of extra land, and myself, my husband and my sister-in-law, we were going to take that forward and actually really develop the business. So we found a really perfect spot in Woodchurch. It was 15 acres, and we've planted up currently about half of that. Because also what we are trying to do is a really gradual, slow growth. It is still just us three that are the active everyday you know, employees in the business. So we do absolutely everything ourselves, all of the manual labour. We don't get anyone else in at all to kind of do anything. Some of the bigger establishments will get teams of people to come in and just do huge kind of winter pruning, and then they'll do that for a week and then leave, whereas we do that all ourselves. And part of that is because we're just starting out and we couldn't really afford that. But part of that is also that we're really passionate about what we do. And we like that level of control about being able to really make every individual decision of what happens on the vineyard to produce the best grapes possible, rather than try and get it all done in a short space of time.
So what? Talk us through the wines. Who chose the types of wine? Did you get the advice from Plumpton, or did you your father-in-law just choose what he liked? Or?
So it's very interesting, actually. We chose still wines as that is what we like to drink, as opposed to sparkling. And sparkling wine production in the UK makes up about 70% of all of the wine that's
really
produced.
Wow.
So
that's
it
huge.
Is predominantly sparkling that people go through, go for. Reasons for that is our climate and our soils are very, very similar to
Come
Champagne.
Come on, say terroir.
No,
because
terroir.
I remember when I first did my Scoff and Quaff show 100 years ago, and I had a wine and he kept saying the terroir. I think it was Squarries, actually, Henry from Squarries. I said, what is terroir? You know, and so now I have to just say it all the time.
Yes.
Soil to you.
Exactly, yeah, the soil. Yeah. I mean, the other thing that we really try to do at Wayfarer Wines, if you come down and do a tour with us at our vineyard, is that we try to put things on a most down-to-earth level.
How refreshing. Yeah. So that there's not this kind of snobbery thing going on where you feel silly, as I often do.
Exactly. And for us, we've discovered wine, and we've discovered this whole new world of viticulture and winemaking, and all that we want to do is share it with people. We feel really passionate about that, so we want to make it accessible as possible.
How do you cope with the flies and pests and things? Because I just planted, I've only got a small urban garden, and I'm on the seafront, but we planted espaliers. So we did a cherry tree, apples and something else, a couple of apples. And before the cherries were even ripe the first year, the birds just took them all when they were green, you know. So how do you cope with the pests and the birds?
So really, luckily, there aren't too many pests that we need to worry about on the vineyard.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's not a huge problem. One of the biggest things that we would worry about is things like mildew and fungus. So they're bigger problems for UK vineyards, particularly because we have quite damp, wet weather.
Especially
that makes sense. Yeah.
When you have lots of lovely, gorgeous fruit growing on your vines and then it rains terribly.
It must be soul destroying sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that we can do to combat that. But what we don't want is kind of very damp conditions and humid conditions, which are really great for those things to grow. But in terms of bugs, we're not too concerned. There's a few. But what we like to do, especially us as a kind of company ethos, is that we try to do things as naturally as possible. So we can encourage small species of birds to the vineyard that will be beneficial, that are going to eat species that are not so beneficial.
Okay. So birds will eat green fly and things? Or
yeah, we can also encourage things like bats, which will eat moths. So there's a few natural remedies. And then other than that, it's really simple stuff. We put a little bit of sugar syrup and we hang that along the rows of the vines to attract wasps, which might damage the fruit. Mm.
Or Eastwell Manor bees.
Yes. Well, actually, bees are very beneficial. And we have beehives as well down at our vineyard. So they're beneficial species. So what we're trying to do really is just try to create like the perfect equilibrium of the beneficial species to try and outweigh any negatives of anything that we don't want to be there.
So talk us through your wines. What have you brought in?
So, yes,
today?
I was just going to pour some Chardonnay out for you. So what I've brought with me is I've brought a couple. First one we're going to taste is our Chardonnay, and when we do a wine tasting, we tend to start with the kind of the brightest and the most acidic, and we work our way through to the kind of the softer, more subtle wines.
Because I noticed you do a sweet wine with desserts, which sounded really nice, especially for young women. I think, you know, their palate is all young people have a sweeter tooth, don't they?
And it might go with Eastwell honey.
Sarah, we have to say honey.
Honey, sorry. Honey.
Honey. Look, the wine's being poured, so talk us through, yow.
So this is our Chardonnay. As I say, thank you, this is the brightest in acidity and the driest wine that we produce. Now, that being said, it is still a very nice and well-balanced wine. So what you'll notice if you give a little bit of a smell.
So, James, you taste for me.
You should notice a little bit of lemon, lovely citrusy notes, a little bit of honeysuckle on the palate.
What was this called? Your Chardonnay?
This
sorry, I was tweeting
Chardonnay.
At the time. Yeah. Okay. And how long have you been making this wine?
So we had our first vintage of wines in 2019. So we're into about three vintages now, and we're working on our fourth.
James, have you ever been to Plumpton?
I've not been to Plumpton, no.
Are you putting it on your list of places to plump for?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to go down and have a look. Lovely wine. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Excuse me. You know, my arms are long, but not quite long enough, James. Thank you. Oh, I'm being served by the general manager of Eastwell Manor. That's very good. So run us through, James, what you're getting from this nose, and then we'll let run through. Tell me what you're getting.
Well,
it smells.
It's lovely. We've already had most of the answers, but... you know, bright and fresh are absolutely the words to describe it on the palate. Lemony, lemon's quite at the forefront. There's a little bit of floralness at the back. Whether it's I don't know, I can't discern enough to say exactly what floral it might be. Carrot, acidity, you know, is
honeysuckle.
Yeah, a little bit of honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle.
But I would say this definitely would pair well with seafood. Anything with a really nice fresh squeeze of lemon.
Yeah.
And it's got the acidity that's going to match that. So, yeah, that's going to pair really nicely with seafood, fresh oysters.
Whistle oysters.
Yeah, we won't talk about the sewage in the sea, which is practically every day that rains now. I think in Whitstable they're bringing the oysters from somewhere else. I can't remember, really. Maybe Jersey or
Scotland.
Scotland, Jersey, I don't know. Yeah, but the seafood, of course, and we've got Wheeler's, which is my favourite place in Whitstable. So if we're coming along to your lovely wayfarerwines.com, you can find them. You've got vineyard tours, and then you have this wine club. Talk us through the wine club, which I thought was really a good idea, because you've got different levels of price, haven't you?
That's right. So we've got a few different things going
on. While you say that, I'll just cough this.
Yes, absolutely.
Pleasant, yeah.
So we've got a few different things going on at Wayfarer Wines. So we have a wine club. There's a few different tiers of wine club. And basically, you can sign up, and what you'll get is priority access to new release wines, priority access and tickets to exclusive events that we do down at the vineyard. And included in your subscription, you'll get sent, depending on what tier you choose, a case, two cases, three cases of wine at various intervals throughout the year. What we've also got is a brand new loyalty scheme as well. So if you do come for a tour and tasting down at our vineyard in Woodchurch, and you sign up by giving us your email address, you get 10% off of everything in our shop and 10% off of everything online, including we've got lovely candles that we've made from our recycled bottles.
Wow, I love that.
We have honey that's produced on site as well.
Honey.
Of course, not forgetting the honey. So yeah, we've got a few different things to choose from, depending on whether or not you want to sign up for a subscription, or you want a bit more of a casual loyalty type scheme where you can come and visit us and get a nice little discount on your purchases if you're local.
I love that idea, and I wonder if there's a collaboration with Eastwell Manor and that. I'm sure there would be weddings and things like that as well. So then we have, this is what I sent to my son, Che, and Sydney, my daughter, gift a voucher, because they're all sending clients these hampers and things like that. So I sent them that. You can do the... You've got the pairing with local... Is it local cheeses you do, or
yeah, so
other
we use
cheeses?
The High Wheel Dairy, based over in East Sussex. They've got some really fantastic cheeses.
Delicious.
Yeah, and what we do is we specifically handpick some cheeses that we think pair really excellently with the varieties of wine that we have. And as we take you through a tasting, we'll not only talk you through what wine you're tasting, what you should kind of be trying to discern from that and how it was made, but we'll also kind of guide you as to what you should be pairing with it to really get the best out of the experience. And we can actually talk a little bit more about that as well when you come to visit us. If you're looking for some tips on how to take that knowledge away with you when you go home and try to pick out any wine and any food pairing, we can guide you through that a little bit as well.
This is a great wine. It's quite dry, isn't it? I love it. It's the type of wine that I like dry wine. I'm really enjoying that.
There's a common misperception that all Chardonnays are really sweet, isn't
it? Yeah. it's much drier than I would have thought, because I was drinking, funny enough, a Chardonnay last night.
I saw that, the Bonterra one, organic.
Very nice. But it was from California, which annoys me a bit. Like, I think I might have bought it from Waitrose, because like, their organic wines are good.
Yeah.
I get a lot from Riverford in my veg box. So, like, my new husband goes, your veg box is here, but it seems to have got 12 bottles of organic wine.
Well, you know, it's sort of veg. It's five
a day. But, it was nice, that one. But I'm not a wine buff. I just like drinking wine, but I'm very bad on the knowledge and things, and I really should know more, which is why I've deferred to James, who is doing very well, having his second glass. So what's this one?
I was going to say, to be fair, he did put some of the rest in the
did
tune.
He? I would never do that. Never.
Oh, you see, James is a professional, you see. That's what we have to do in the industry.
Did he do the sniff and the swill?
Oh, he did, yes.
100%.
He's looking very happy. Run us through this one.
So what I just poured for you is now a completely different wine. And I just wanted to show a little bit of the kind of variety that you can get on offer. So it's another white wine. The grape is a Bacchus grape, mm-hmm. Which is a grape that's becoming a little bit more well-known in its own right in the UK. And the nice thing about this one is it's very similar to a Sauvignon Blanc. Mm. It's got that really lovely perfume. So it's got a lot more of a nose on this wine if you give it a little smell.
Let me just quaff mine and then I'll pass mine over. Yeah, to go through the bouquet.
So I would say on this, you get really lovely, refreshing elderflower and lychee. And that's pretty much a signature of the Bacchus grape.
Let's see if James gets a hint as I've thrown my glass over. I need to be like Twizzle. Now, if you're a certain age, you'd know who Twizzle is. You lot are in here are far too young. If Paul Andrews was here, he'd know who Twizzle was. Twizzle was a children's program person thing in the 70s. And his arms would go and
could go long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his legs. Thank you, James.
Yes, Inspector Gadget. That's the.
For a more recent example.
I know that one.
Oh, gosh, this has got a very different floral note, hasn't it?
This is a very different wine, yes. Mm. So immediately you notice it's got a very, very intense.
The lychee's really. Yeah,
you could
really
put that. You could put that behind your ears, couldn't you? It's so nice.
It's very perfumey.
Wow. So how do you get that?
So that is actually, it's essentially the Bacchus grape is a very aromatic grape. It's got a lot of aromatic compounds in there. And what we try to do again at Wayfarer Wines, our ethos is very much about trying to get the essence of the grape in the glass. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to do too much to it in the winery, and we don't want to kind of do anything like we don't blend our grapes, our grape varieties together. We keep everything a single varietal. So if it's just one single grape variety in every single bottle, only ever from one single estate and from one single vintage.
Is it oaked?
It is very good, yes. Yeah. So this Bacchus, we've oaked
James.
It for around about 5 months in fourth fill barrels. And what we wanted to do with that is add a little bit of complexity. So sometimes what we found in previous vintages with Bacchus is that it can be nearly overpoweringly floral, and we wanted to just tone that down a little bit.
It just softens the edge. It's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really lovely, isn't it? It really is. Where can we buy this wine?
So you can buy it directly from our vineyard. We are available in some farm shops, so we're available at...
So hang on, that's wayfarerwines.com. Remember, it's way, F-A-R-E-R.
That's right.
Wines.com. You can go direct and go on there.
Yep.
And?
We're available at Press Wine Services at the Goods Shed and at Cork Wine Bar in Canterbury. And we're available in McNaid's in Faversham as well.
Excellent. I love this. James, what would you be thinking about pairing this? And then Karen can tell you if you're right. I like to put James on the
getting
spot.
Getting the first degree.
Yeah. He's having to have another little cough.
I haven't had to concentrate on wine for a little while.
It's lovely, the flavour.
Mm.
I mean, let me just tell you again what we've... another thing that we've done with this wine in particular, which is a little bit more subtle, but we've actually stirred the lees on this wine. And now, for the people that may not know or be quite au fait with what that means is... When you ferment your wine, you add yeast to it.
Yeah.
And once that yeast has finished fermenting all that lovely sugar into alcohol, you can remove it at that point, or you can leave that yeast in the wine.
Because they say how long on the lees, don't they?
Exactly. Mm. And all that is, the lees is the yeast that's been left in there. And if you leave it in your wine, you can end up developing some really lovely yeasty flavours. bready flavours, brioche flavours. So what we did was we left our lees in this wine a little bit, again to add a little bit of texture and a little bit more complexity. And we stirred it through. So when you agitate the lees and you stir it through the wine, you kind of intensify that brioche readiness. So we did that on this wine as well a little bit.
So James, putting you on the spot, what would you nibble with this?
It would stand up really well with you know, maybe a slightly meatier white fish, maybe a chicken, a little bit of fruit in the dish. It would stand up really well, complement that. You could pair it like with the Chardonnay with just some straight seafood, although it might overpower just slightly the delicate flavors of say an oyster or something like that. So definitely something with a bit more meat to it.
I would also suggest,
Karen, does he get 5 points?
Yes, I would say so. I'd also suggest anything with a very slight little bit of spice, and it's got enough flour power in there, enough kind of perfume, enough kind of flavour to really stand up to a little bit of heat.
So when you say spice, do you mean like a chili or do you mean like a
curry
could go with
So Thai green aromatic curries would be a really good pairing. Anything fresh but quite powerful, like a goat's cheese as well, it would pair really beautifully with. Fresh roasted green vegetables as well, really nice pairing.
Excellent. So did your father-in-law, has he still running the business, or has he handed over to you and he's just drinking?
So he tends to dip in and dip out. He's still very much involved in some of the day-to-day running of the business. He's really supportive, and you'll see him quite often out on the vineyard, or maybe even on a delivery, as he helps us and just trying to support us to really do the best that we can. Obviously, we're such a small team that everybody pitches in. So Emma and myself, although our main kind of job isn't to be on the vineyard, we will quite often go out and do that. It's my husband that's in charge. So we always say that out on the vineyard, he's the boss, and in the office, we're the boss.
And remind me your husband's name?
That's Matt.
Matt, okay. Yeah. And so when you're open to the public, you're open all year round or holidays?
Yes, so we're open all year round. We tend to be through the winter months by appointment only, and through the summer months we're around a little bit more. So we tend to be regularly open on a Saturday, by appointment on a Friday or a Sunday.
So I'm just thinking, are you going to get bigger and need to take on staff, or?
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. We're still really, as a company, in our kind of infancy, and we're still really developing. So we've definitely got a vision for the future to plant more vines. Mm-hmm. We've got another 6 acres of land that's perfect and ready for planting.
So have you just bought some more land?
We've got a 15-acre plot in Woodchurch, and we've just planted half of it because we're doing all the work ourselves. Mm. So it was a way of graduating that growth. So the idea also being that once our kind of second phase, if you like, comes into fruition, hopefully in October this year, and we're able to produce some wine from that half of the plot, we'll then use the sales of that wine to help fund the kind of phase three of the growth of the business, which would be then planting up the remaining 6 acres.
I love this. And do you have one more for James to sample?
Yes, of course.
I've lost track.
I've got a lovely rosé here.
Oh, summer and rosé, James.
Yeah. I can just picture that Eastwell Manor.
Yeah.
Rolling
the terrace,
in
yeah.
The sun. Because we often get, I mean, we've had a very strange summer, really, with lots of rain and lots of wind. But we often get that Indian summer now coming up in September and October, where we have those beautiful days, don't we?
So what I'm going to pour for you is...
Sorry, I was completely distracted, Jules, if you were looking for me to support.
Preparing for the wine. There we go.
Thank you. Yeah. What I have here is a Pinot Noir Rosé. So I just want to reiterate again that everything that we produce is single varietal. And we're still wine specialists, in fact. We haven't really touched on that either. So what makes us different to a lot of the other vineyards in the UK is that we only produce still wine and no sparkling. And the reason for that is it's what we like to drink as a family.
So it's all about you.
It's all about us.
What you like.
Of course. But that was where it came from. And
it's your passion, isn't it?
It's our passion. Yeah. And as we kind of looked into it more seriously, we realised that, yes, a lot of the vineyards in the UK are producing sparkling wine and they're doing it brilliantly.
Yeah.
But what they have is they've planted the champagne varietals, so the types of vines that would have historically been grown and produced in Champagne. And those vines are higher in acidity and lower in sugar naturally, because this is exactly what you want for sparkling wine.
Yeah.
And occasionally what's happening is they're taking those vines and using those to produce, in any given year, a bit of still wine. And what we decided that we would like to do is go with still wine varietals. So the varieties of wine that would come originally from places like Burgundy, which is a still wine region. And those vines, although it might still be a Chardonnay, it's a different clone, or it's a different, a very slight different variation.
So it's a sister of it, or
exactly,
a cousin, or a...
Precisely. And the biggest difference is that it's going to be naturally higher in sugar and more concentrated in flavour. And lower in acidity. So what you get from that is already the perfect starting point to create a still wine. And it's just very subtle differences. They tend to be lower yielding as well, so we get a little bit less fruit and we crop a little bit lower, because what we're really focusing on is building up those really lovely natural sugars. So
James, you're going to have a little quaff and run us through what you think. And Sarah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Would you?
I think we put Sarah on the spot this time.
Yeah,
personally.
Come on, Sarah, go for it. Have this after a pole dancing lesson, or
after pole dancing, anything will do. Somebody wafted a can of Super Tenants under my nose. I've been hard pressed to say no. All I can say is it's very nice.
Yeah,
yeah, and absolutely perfect for summer evenings. Yeah. It's classy.
It's quite nice, quite delicate. It's almost a little like Provencian style, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
James, what would you pair that with?
I'd be quite happy drinking on its own.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Just want to say, maybe some little nibbles, just, you know, something nice and delicate.
When you drink,
I can taste a bit of sweetness in there as well. Is there a little bit? Is there more honeysuckle in this one? Or
so I'd say this one is definitely got grapefruity zinginess to it, and it's got a little bit of, I would say, cherry blossom floral. Floral notes on there.
You see, I'm making this the Bacchus last because I have to control the whole deck
and Paul drive. Anders,
and drive. Well, we haven't had too much. It's fine. And I've bought my little boiled egg and a jam jar for my journey home.
Yeah,
as
very
I always
sensible.
Did.
I
little boiled
to
egg,
that.
Few tomatoes, and a little bit of herbimare sprinkled
on top.
Spinach
usually
goes well. Yeah, well, that would do. But yeah, but then you get it in your teeth and you smile at someone. You've got to be careful with spinach.
Yeah, that's true.
On the way home.
It's a bit like pepper.
Yeah, so, but... which is your favourite? What would you have if you were off duty? And would you go for the rosé or the Bacchus?
I'd probably go for the Bacchus, I think.
It is really special, isn't it, the Bacchus?
Yeah, it's just the use of the oak and the time on these, it just makes it interesting. It's got that bit more...
It's really memorable.
Yeah.
I haven't had the rosé, and I will do after I've done all the controls. So what's your best seller?
I mean, it's very varied. We've got a few wines that I haven't brought with me today as well.
It's another show, Sarah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paul, you're not invited.
A full red Pinot Noir?
Not a red Pinot Noir just yet. Again, it's always been our ethos that we want to do a red wine when the conditions are exactly right. The other kind of constraint that we've got at the moment is a large proportion of our production is from the original small family home. And if we were to do a straight red, we'd have to sacrifice the rosé.
Fair enough.
We love the rosé, and the rosé sells really, really well. So we're going to do is wait until our grapes come in this year at the larger site in Woodchurch, and it's big enough that we can use a small proportion and do a short, little, limited edition red wine.
Because this year will be your first harvest at the Woodchurch site, won't it, after 3 years? Yes. Nice.
Exciting stuff.
It is really, really, I'm very interested in this because it started from father-in-law's passion. What was his name? Sorry.
Jeff's
passion. And it's just gone from there to be this amazing producer. And you're all hands-on. You've had a baby.
Yeah.
And then you've got Emma. So you're planting it, digging it, whatever you're doing, harvesting it. And
pruning it.
Pruning it, oaking it.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a misconception that there's only work kind of in the summer. The work is year round. It's very labour intensive. We kind of harvest, and then very soon after that, we're starting our winter pruning. That takes you all the way through until kind of early March. And then it's on and on and on to the next job. So we're always, you know, right now we're working through our current vintage and thinking about harvest, which will come in October. Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly labour intensive, but we always kind of say it's a labour of love. You know, we wouldn't do it unless we really loved it.
Have you ever seen the movie A Walk in the Clouds with Keanu Reeves?
She hasn't got time. She's too busy planting vines
or looking after a baby. Yeah. Okay, well, when you get an hour and a half or whatever, yeah. I definitely recommend it. It's about Keanu Reeves ends up spending some time with a family in, I think it, well, it's actually California, but they're an Italian family and they have a vineyard there. And there's a bit where the frost comes down and they all dash out and they're waving things around to try and keep the frost away from the berries.
Oh, luckily we haven't had to do that yet, but occasionally if you get a really bad frost, someone who draws a short straw will have to go out and light little candles down the vineyard to stave the frost away. But we're very lucky that we haven't had that problem yet.
Because I'm thinking that, you know, you can buy it locally, but if people buy online, then you've got the whole postage thing. And
we don't charge postage online.
But how do you send it so it doesn't all smash and it must be...
So we've got some really clever packaging. It's made from completely recyclable materials.
What do you use? Like cornstarch or something?
It's a pulp. It's like a moulded pulped cardboard. So it's very rigid. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it moulds perfectly around each of our bottles and it holds them in place inside a cardboard box, which is very thick. Double corrugated cardboard.
And you're having to pack that yourself with Erin under your arm.
Exactly.
Wow. And so are you getting any overseas visitors yet or not yet?
We have had overseas visitors. We've had, definitely had a few international guests. We are trying to connect at the moment with local B&Bs.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, to try and help promote that we are in the local area and that people should come and visit us. So yeah, absolutely.
I think have a word with Hayward's Farm Shop as well, that's in Hadlow.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of local produce and I think they, I mean, I know that they do stuff from Chapel Down, so I think, you know, this would be a great addition to what they have.
I would think all the farm shops.
Yeah.
Do you have a sort of a shop at Eastwell?
We don't have...
Like with all your, you know, branded stuff or...
Oh, yeah, we've got a retail outlet in the spa for our product.
All your fluffy slippers and
exactly.
things like that.
No, but nothing really from a produce perspective.
But you will have soon with your honey.
Well, we'll have to have something, won't we? Yes.
You will. You'd have honey. I was quite interested in mead. I knew I had a few mead producers on my show in on Scoff and Quaff, which is a superior show to the Business Bunker. mead was a real thing a few years ago around here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you would make mead, but that might be your next trick.
It could be. I mean, the honey that we produce sells incredibly well. We can't make enough of it.
So how do you sell that again?
So down at our vineyard in Woodchurch, we have a tasting room. So it's a lovely bar with a few tables and chairs. It's fully heated and
lovely.
Weatherproof. Mm. But we also have outdoor seating as well for our tours and tastings. We try to get out right in the heart of the vines to do our tastings. But down there where we have our little bar set up, we've got a little shop. So you can buy Wayfarer branded tote bags. We have our candles, our honey, and of course our wine.
Excellent. And I was talking to my nutritionist, Christine Bickley, who's amazing. And she's the one that's got me on these tablets I have to take on an empty stomach twice a day. And my stomach's rarely empty, Sarah.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Well, it's not a pleasant feeling, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say about bees and things. Oh, yes. Raw honey.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible? Raw honey?
Yes, definitely possible. Yeah. I mean, so with the honey production, we have a beekeeper who manages the beehives, again, because we are kind of quite busy with everything.
Does he come in all his beekeeping stuff?
He comes in his full beekeeping gear. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So he does a fantastic job of managing the bees and keeping them happy and healthy on our behalf. And he's actually just recently installed a few more hives. So we don't quite have as many as you do. We've got, I think, about five currently. Two of those have just been put in brand new. So we're trying to encourage a bit of growth there. But they certainly seem to be happy. They're producing lots. We should be able to harvest our summer honey very soon. So we have somebody that does that on our behalf.
Oh, incredible. So just run us through the wines that we've had and then we're going to go over to Sarah for a last roundup.
We've had our Woodland Chardonnay, which is 2021 vintage.
Yep.
We've had our Bacchus, which is an oaked Bacchus. That's a brand new release
from
2022.
Absolutely stonking that wine.
So this one also is only going to get better.
Mm.
And we've had a 2021 vintage of Pinot Noir Rosé, which is a dry Provençal style rosé.
James, amazing.
Beautiful wines,
yeah,
absolutely.
We're
fantastic.
Loving them. So to find Wayfarer Wines, as I've said, go on to wayfarerwines.com. They're based in the countryside at Woodchurch. I don't really know where that is. What's it near that I would know?
It's 5 minutes down the road from Shaddockshurst.
Okay, where is that?
It's about five minutes down the road from here.
So okay. As you head out of Ashford, if you're heading towards Tenterton, most people kind of know Tenterton is the next big village.
Yeah.
So on the way out of Ashford towards Tenterton, you've basically got Woodchurch bang in the middle.
Yeah. And you can gift a voucher there. That sounds great. A great idea. You can pair it with your locally sourced cheeses.
Yeah.
And you do a ploughman's lunch with wines.
Absolutely.
As well. That sounds great. You're pairing up with local Airbnbs and B&Bs and
correct.
All that. Airbnbs are huge now. That's why I can never find a cleaner, of course, in Whitstable, because they're all doing Airbnbs. Very annoying. And then you've got your vineyard tours and the wine club. Did you talk us through that? I've lost track because I've swigged rather a lot.
Yes, we spoke briefly about the wine club. We've also got an event, again, Saturday the 19th of August seems to be a very busy day for us.
Yeah, who are these people?
We've paired up with a local bakery in Tenterton, Artistry Patisserie, and they're supplying us with some very, very nicely made patisserie desserts, which we're going to be using. So we're going to run through a lovely wine tasting at the vineyard, and we've paired those desserts with some of our sweeter wines. So that's on Saturday 19th. I think we've got a few spaces left throughout the day for that.
That sounds great, actually. And again, hen parties and all that sort of thing, it's a bit different, isn't it,
to the
you know, the naked butler or whatever they have lately. My daughter-in-law just went on one and she said, Jules, there's a naked butler serving it, and she was not impressed, actually.
No, I wouldn't be impressed with that either.
But that kind of thing would be lovely.
Absolutely.
It's a bit of class.
Yeah.
And then retire to Eastwell Manor for dinner and...
Yeah, and carry on. And then breakfast.
Spa day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And spa to recover.
Oh, lovely.
But of course.
Weekend
can
sorted.
Somebody get married so that we can, you know, have an excuse for a
Well, I told you the new husband's
on his way out.
Yeah. 29 years is enough.
Yeah, well,
that
okay,
knee
well,
and all that.
There you go, perfect.
Very stressful this morning as I was trying to, you know, I had my itinerary already and very stressful.
All up in the air. We've only have 3 minutes left.
Yes, round off
okay,
for me.
Okay, quickly. So, Paul Andrews.
You do it so well.
Paul Andrews has said, listening to the Business Bunker radio show with Jules and Sarah, seems to be lots of wine in evidence. What gave him that idea, do you think?
It's mostly James, of course.
Yes.
I take full responsibility.
InTune PR have tweeted in as well a picture of it looks like a mailbox or a flat, you know, those buzzy things outside of apartment blocks. With a little sign saying, beware of peculiar dog.
Really?
Yeah. You have to see that one.
She's so, honestly. Can we have a taxi for Sarah, please?
Just to Eastwell Manor, that'd be fine. So, land set aside for the UK's first hydrogen-powered winery has been put up for sale.
Oh, yeah, 550, wasn't it?
Yeah, £525,000. Disused stretch of farmland near Ashford. Don't worry, we won't change boat.
Sarah's got her little ears pricked up, though.
built on a 4.5-acre site. To the west of the village of Edgerton?
Egerton. Paul Anders would be jumping up and down.
All over me, I know.
It's
like Trotter's Cliff, isn't
it?
Or, Trosley.
I would like to buy that, but I'm too old to start doing wineries and things.
Yeah. It sounds like really hard work.
It does.
Even without a baby and stuff, yeah.
I think Karen would manage it, though. We have to go, people, so it's been brilliant for you all to tune in. Paul Andrews will be back next week on track. But a huge thank you to Sarah Marsh Collins for being my lovely co-presenter and giving us some tips.
My pleasure.
To James McComas of the Eastwell Manor and Champney Spa. Go and see them. And Karen Ashford, who lives near Ashford, and her lovely team, Emma and Matt and baby Erin. For now, from us, it's a warm goodbye and we'll speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.